contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they're a ton of fun, and T does a terrific job. The review of the Goofy News, I don't know if you watch the news or not lately. Yeah, you probably shouldn't, but to some degree, it's goofy, but it proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we want to. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. Now, what does that mean? That means if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question about things that are going on around the world, things that are going on in your life, maybe you've got a praise report. If you read Psalms, you find out in Psalm 22 that we're supposed to testify to the brethren of the good things the Lord does in our lives. Wow, that's a commandment, not a suggestion. Anyway, you have the opportunity to share testimony. You have the opportunity to ask for prayer requests. We'll be glad to pray for you. On the air, you can keep it semi-confidential, fully confidential, or not confidential at all. It's up to you. You can comment about some of the things that are going on in life. Some of them can be frustrating. Some of them can be fun. And you can also share, as long as you keep it cool, about anything the Lord's working on in your life. Plus, we do Bible trivia. That's always fun. And here's how you get in touch with us, because we don't want you to have that thought, question, or comment, or opinion just sit by itself. It needs a little company, just like you do. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call Terrific T, Tierra will answer the phone. She's wonderful. It's like when you talk to her, a new season of your favorite show just started. How good? That's fabulous, right? And then she turns you over to me. And that's when you find out you have to pay extra to watch it. Oh, well, that was fun. Anyhow, 972-445-0770. You can also text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That comes right to my phone, which has no volume, so I can read the text, but it doesn't interfere with the show. Plus, you can also email David at hemustincrease.org. I don't always get to the emails live on the air, but I see them and I read them. That's kind of a nice thing. And if you ever want to answer trivia that way, you can do it that way. Now, we try to have compelling monologues. Well, we give it the best that we can. We don't have a lot of riveting interviews, especially because of the way COVID's operated. It's not really helped us. But we do have fascinating callers, and that's the big key. I will tell you, in the top of the hour at 2 o'clock, we are introducing the expository of the narrative of the book of Acts. Ooh, lots and lots of stuff to cover there. But in the meantime, let's not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Now, typically what we do before we do our expository is we do this thing called read and Rambo.
Well, I'm ramming.
There you go. Just think of it that way. We are in the book of Colossians. We've been going through it verse by verse. Very fun to do. I think it's fun to do. It's expository. It's cool in nature. It gives us a chance to kind of hear it and then just talk about it. That's what Read and Ramble is all about. That's what we're going to do in just a split second. I do want people to be in prayer. As I was going through the material, we're also going to be teaching Ezra and Nehemiah, and I have not figured out yet the approach or the style that I want to teach that in, because I've not really taught it before. So this is going to be fascinating for me as well as it is for you. Or if it's boring, you can just get through it. That's kind of like your mission in life. The one thing I am asking people, and we are going to be asking this as an informal poll. We've asked this question before. We're asking it just a little different. Should be pretty easy. What would you like to hear more of on the show? What would you like to hear more of on the show? Now, you don't have to answer that when you call in for a trivia question. You don't have to answer that when you're texting or emailing. I'm just asking people. I like to take the temperature, see what's going on around the room. This is our fellowship room. It's not your church. This is if it's the only fellowship that you can get to or have, we want to be a blessing in that capacity. But this is not to take the place of church for people that can attend. This is to be a fellowship, to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. And many of you know, I've said multiple times, it's more like a big brother kind of mentality than a pastoral mentality. Do you just got to go with it? That's what it is. Let's get into the read and ramble. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul writes, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is his church." Let's just break this down and make sure they don't get any weird theology coming out of it. When Paul says, "I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of the body," he's not saying that Jesus lacked in doing what Jesus had to do for the body, but there's this connection between Jesus and his people, and a lot of people really don't like this part all that much, but that connection has to do with suffering, and the body of Christ must go through a certain amount of suffering. People are like, yes, but that's why we like premillennial dispensationalists, and that's why we want to be pre-trib rapture, because we don't want to have to go through suffering. Congratulations. Welcome to maturity. Too bad. It's not that those theologies won't happen. You're still going to learn suffering. You're still going to learn that process. And one of the main reasons you will learn that process of suffering, whether you like it or not, and I know that there's groups out there that are, you know, prosperity gospel oriented, and I've actually sat in an auditorium where the person who was preaching mocked suffering for Christians. I mean, I've sat through it. And it's like the reason that that's so insane to do is because our sufferings in the gospel connect us to Jesus. And the church has to share in that suffering. In fact, it's called the privilege of suffering in order to be connected to Jesus. It's not that God is trying to produce the pain. He's trying to produce the participation. And that's where Christians miss it. Well, I don't understand. Why do I have to do that? Didn't you say when you got saved, "Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to do everything you want me to. I want to go through everything that you have in mind." God's still answering your prayer. And Paul talks about it, doesn't have any reservation. Just in case you're wondering, it's also James who talks about it. Listen to James in chapter 1, verse 2, where he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." What? "Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance." James says, "Consider it pure joy." Paul says, "Now I'm rejoicing in my suffering." And the body of Christ, which is God's precious, precious, precious Lamb of life. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God, but let's just say precious pupil, apple of the eye, bride. The precious bride has to learn a few lessons the hard way. It's called growing up. And I know that nobody really wants to go. I don't want to go through trials, but I must learn. I must become more mature. I must put away childish things and be more mature as the Lord commands me to be, that when I'm going through suffering for the gospel's sake, let me put that caveat in, not when I go through suffering because I'm an idiot. When I go through suffering because of the gospel, I'm connecting to Jesus as he went through suffering for our sake. We make a connection. It is beautiful. And Paul's like, I rejoice in my sufferings. And James, I count it pure joy. And this is in relationship to the body of Christ. And people are out there and they're like, oh, but it can be hard. You're right. It can be hard. But you know one of the things that does take place in suffering through trials under the hand of God is a greater dependency on God. That's why James said, you know, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That perseverance is in the Lord. How wonderful that whatever you got to go through, God's allowing this so that you can just be more like Jesus and closer. And I think what we do is we think, or at least to some degree, we've Americanized Christianity to say it should be all about prosperity and having extra cars and having this and having that. Look, at when you said you want to be like Jesus and prayed that prayer, he said yes. And that's what you're going through. And the Americanization of Christianity does not help. Because it's more of a prosperous mindset. I get it. But if you want to be like Jesus, you got to go through the things that Jesus went through, the trials. You're not going to go through the ultimate sacrifice the way he went through, but you're going to go through trials. They're going to test your faith because that's the purpose that God has, to make you more like Jesus. So say thank you as best as you can. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, I almost came in late on that one. I was liking the song. I'm sorry. Let's do our first trivia question. Man, there's just so much stuff I can't wait to teach you guys. I hope you guys, nobody blows a gasket. That's all I'm hoping. Everybody keeps it all together. This is a relatively easy one, but here's what I want you to do before I tell you what this one is. I want you to think about the answer, give the answer to yourself in your mind, and then if you're not sure what the answer is, look it up. Okay? So this is kind of like a challenge to yourself process. How many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? How many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? Okay? If you think you know the answer, or you're thinking it, you're like, ding, 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 it's in my brain. I know what it is. And if you know what it is, you can just either text in or call in. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. We're Terrific T. We'll answer the phone. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. How many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? People already responding. Good job, my brother. I'll just leave that right there. Let's see. The other thing, what else do we need to cover? Do we need to cover DNA? Okay, so we need to cover DNA. When I do that, are you live on the air or does that cut your voice off? Okay. All right.
I can't talk to you live.
Well, no, you can't. You can do it every – I mean, you can. You can even tell me a joke if you have one. I've got so many jokes. This site is loaded. I mean, we're going to do this.
I'm going to leave the jokes to you.
That's right. Let me be the one that get buzzed. That's fine by me. Let's do DNA real quickly. That's the question, by the way, that's on the table. How many – people sending in answers. How many chapters in the book of Proverbs? If you don't know, look it up. That's what I want you to do. If you do know, you can just tell us. Let's do DNA. DNA is the building blocks of our Christian faith. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Now, this is an important issue because I'm in the middle of a study on a book that talks about spiritual disciplines, and it's a really good book, but the author has not distinguished that certain disciplines need to be done daily. And that's a big part of things because you don't do Christianity on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings and your group. Okay? It's continual. It's 24/7, just like your access is to the kingdom and to the throne of God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Your access is 24/7. Your relationship with the Lord is 24/7. Whether you think it is or not, it is. So that's draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I don't care what anybody says on cable news. I could care less what they do on Hollywood. I can care less what they do in movies and records. I don't care. I'm never going to be ashamed of Jesus and his words. I don't want him ever to be ashamed of me. And then A, always be ready.
To serve,
which means you're ready to minister to others, to respond to God. You're ready to make that connection, to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors as you love yourself. Okay. Good job, team. Thank you. All right. So trivia questions out there. We'll answer it. If we got a lot of people answering on the text, right?
Yeah, that's text.
That's text, right? Yeah. I forgot what they call it. Anyway, the trivia question for those that don't know, how many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? If you know, you can call in or text in. To call is 972-445-0770. Text is 214-210-8483. Don't forget we're starting Acts at the top of the hour. Don't want to miss some of that beginning part, but I'll tell you why, because that's kind of like lays the foundation. All right, let's go back to our read and ramble. This ought to be nice and cheery for some people. This is verse 25 of Colossians. It says the following, I became its servant, referring to the gospel. I became its servant by the commission God gave me to fully proclaim to you the word of God. So Paul, when he talks about the gospel, he talks about going through the different elements in Colossians 1:25. I became its servant, the servant of the gospel, by the commission God gave me to fully proclaim to you the word of God. The reason that I think this is probably more applicable now, even so, than when it was written, when Paul wrote it to the church back way back when in the 60 AD period, is because nowadays churches are trying not to offend people, and so they are not fully proclaiming the gospel. And it's disgusting. I was in a master's class where I had gotten into a fair, an honest discussion with some other students who were along with me, and they were like, well, we don't want to cause offense to the world, so we don't talk about that. And it's like, wait, let me get this straight. What you're going to do is you're going to use the world system to determine what you declare in regards to God's truth so that they can pick and choose as they see fit, and you're going to accommodate your sharing, your gospel communication, your ministry of God's truth and conform it to a perverted world. Do you know how many replies I got to that? Zero. You want to know why? Not a lot to say. What does that mean? It means that we should be people that are not proclaiming the gospel or sharing about the Lord or talking to people, and we're like walking on eggshells when we're telling people about our faith. Hey, if somebody doesn't like your faith, they don't like your faith. If they turn around and reject you as a human being, they're not a very good friend or a very good relative in the first place. If you're not able to share with an unbeliever what your true processes and what's going on, or the gospel truth itself, there's something wrong. I'll tell you, I'll give you a perfect example. I believe that my mom probably made it into the kingdom of God, especially towards the end of her life. But do you know how that started? As I shared with my mom, who knows I'm not going to lie to her, about some of the more bizarre things that happened to me in my Christian journey. And instead of her dissing on it, and I told her it was because of the gospel and so on and so forth, she thought it was fascinating. I never would have thought that of my own mom. How about that? I never would have thought she would have thought that's interesting. And that conversation led to other conversations, was led to other conversations. And my point in telling you that is that there's no point in compromising so that you can dance around it, because you're not going to make any brownie points for doing that. The world will like you, but God won't be impressed. We should fully proclaim the gospel. We live for the author before the audience. And you don't want to and I think people say, well, it's really rude to tell people they're going to hell. It's much more rude to not tell people they're going to hell. Do you know that hell is not a place people should be wanting to go? And you should be warning them. I mean, the real passion, the real love, the real commitment is being willing to tell people even if they spit in your eye. That's what the persecution process is supposed to be about. And we need to be honest with you. That doesn't mean that you need to say it mean. Nobody's saying that, although Christians are really good at it. I'm just saying. And you don't have to load up your gun, your Bible bullets, right? Because people do that too. I mean, we know they do that. But you can be honest. You can share the full gospel. Look, man, the essence of the story, no matter what anybody says, man is heading for destruction. Jesus is a lifeboat. Get on or just keep going to destruction. Period. You think, well, we got to make it more complex than that. You do? Oh. I thought it was don't be removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. I'll have to double check that. Oh, wait. No, that is what it says. Okay. That's just me being irritating, like a big brother. Like a big brother, like I'm poking you. Poking. See? Big brothers. They poke one another. All right. So the bottom line here is that Paul is like, he's the servant of the gospel by the commission given to God to fully proclaim, not partly proclaim, not hide it, not say, we're going to tell you something really important in about 52 weeks. In the meantime, enjoy our band. Do, 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 do. What is that? I don't think Jesus did that. I think Jesus told the truth. People don't like it. Don't like it. That's a choice people make, right? God invites people into his kingdom, gives them a choice, doesn't he? All right. But you're a servant of the Most High God. You got to fully proclaim it, not partly proclaim it. We can really get into this, and we will get into this when you get into the, you know, spiritual gifts and so on and so forth. And that's part of the some of the earlier Pentecostal teachings on proclamation. I get it, but that's not what Paul is talking about, not right here. He's talking about, look, I don't care who says what. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. I'm going to give you what God gave me. I'm going to do it the best way I can, but I'm a servant to that gospel. I'm going to tell you the truth. And we're not going to shy back. Oh, that's so offensive. You know, Jesus, you got to remember, he's an interesting dividing line. Those that are in are with him, for him, and surrender to him. Those that are not are going to hell. It's a pretty straightforward pretty straightforward. All right. The trivia question. Trivia question is, how many chapters in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs has 31 chapters. 31 chapters. So Al wrote in and said one a day. That's good, except for February. And then the months that only have 30. Then that does a problem there. All right, and then so that's the other part. Now, don't forget we're going to be starting Acts. I have no idea this is going to go. We're just going to do the best we can. We're going to do that at the top of the hour. You can always call in. You can answer trivia. Do whatever you want. Just let it be a blessing for you and let the whole process help you get one step closer unto the Lord, okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour, then we'll be back.
Thanks a lot. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. And you might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like those people that have no hope. They have all there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now.